But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Oh, I just love Hawaii Sunday. This is cool, isn't it? I may go without a tie the rest of the year. It's just, I would be relaxed. Thank you. Oh, just a little bit of an advertisement. We're coming up to the Unexpected Adventure. It starts next week. It will run from next week to the beginning of the new church season, the second week of September. 42 days. We need 100 people who will say in that 42-day period of time, I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to pray for an unexpected adventure in my own life. I'm going to revisit what it means to be a Christian, why I was called to Christ, and how I can lead others to Christ. If you're willing to take that adventure with me, please sign up in the back and take one of the books along with you. Now, it says they're $10. If you'd like to put in more, please feel free to do so. If you find you cannot afford one, all you have to do is see me in private. I will pay for it myself just to have you take this journey with us. 42 days, extremely important time for this church as we move into the future. Unexpected adventure, and also a new quadrennial theme for United Methodism, Rethink Church. It's going to be fun, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of this great experience. Now, I need to know if everyone is it only the case that pregnant women are warm here this morning, or is everyone hot? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pick on anyone in particular. Welcome back home. Good to see you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together this day as the body of Christ. Thank you for the privilege it is to gather in your name and to be a part of a worldwide community which has found meaning and sustenance and direction and hope and purpose because Jesus Christ is Lord. We celebrate that as we come this day, as we look at your holy word, and as we seek your guidance, as we want to do your will in all things. As we gather in your name, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the name Jerry Bruckheimer, I imagine, is not a household name for most of you. But it is in the entertainment world a well-known name, because this is the guy who produced for the silver screen such mega hits as Top Gun and Pirates of the Caribbean. And then on the small screen, he's responsible for The Amazing Race and CSI. So in the entertainment field, he's very, very well known. Most recently, however, he has partnered with a very unique group. Three guinea pigs, a fly, and a mole. In Walt Disney film, The G-Force. Some of you may have seen it. I think it just came out this weekend. The G-Force. It seems the fate of the world rests in the paws of this covert governmental team of highly trained animal spies. This sounds something like the CIA would put together. These well-trained animal spies must foil the attempts of an evil billionaire to dominate the entire world. I don't know how far from reality this is. It's an interesting story. And in this latest Disney flick, G-Force stands for, well, of course, Guinea Pig Force. It's the G-Force that will change the world. In physics, G-Force sort of takes on another meaning, that the force of gravity, that irresistible power of the pull of the earth on everything living on the planet, the G-force that we experience all the time. While we walk on earth, that force of gravity is one. If you're up at the International Space Station and you've seen the pictures being flashed back from there via satellite, you'll know that the force is zero. Fighter pilots often regularly experience a force of 7 G's as they stretch to the outer limits of our atmosphere. And even roller coasters, I was reading about this, even roller coasters such as New Jersey's King Dekai will give us the opportunity to experience 4 G's as straps and webbing hold you in place and keep you from going into the wild blue yonder. Wow, what a roller coaster. I don't know if you're big on roller coasters. I'm very little on roller coasters. Most recently, we celebrated the record-breaking escape from Earth's gravity when the astronauts of Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Mike Collins, raced to the moon in 1969. I don't know where you were when this happened. Oh, I found out this morning from some folks they weren't anywhere when this happened. What? You missed one of the great events. You should have wished that you had been born then so you could experience that. I was still a student at Duke Divinity School serving a church in Eflin, North Carolina when it flashed across the TV screen. Wow. Man, alive, what an experience. It was unbelievable at that time, and it still is. And how many people? They say more than 1 billion people watched the liftoff and watched the landing on the moon and heard Neil Armstrong step onto the moon announcing, what? That's one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind. Oh, what a day. Let's flash back a little bit and reenact that scene as we gather this morning. Still an unbelievable experience. NASA has cleaned up the films. If you've seen the latest editions of them, you can see in very, very clear pictures the landing on the moon and that first walk. I had the good fortune when I was stationed in England to have a visit to the base by James Irwin, who was also one of the astronauts who walked on the moon. And of course, he always had show and tell wherever he went, because he always brought a piece of the moon rock. That was one of the privileges of going on those particular trips. Whatever you picked up, you could bring back home. And so he had some of the moon rock with him when he came to the installation and talked about his journey. And what a remarkable man. I couldn't figure out why, when he visited the base, why he had such an interesting diet. He was sort of eating then like we eat now. You know, you try to have so many fruits and vegetables every day, and you eat apples and prunes and all that combination of stuff that makes you healthy. And I found out that he was eating apples every day and a little yogurt and some oatmeal for one basic reason, because he had tremendous heart problems. And in fact, a heart attack took him at a very, very early age. There's a school named for him here in Colorado Springs, and he and his family lived here in Colorado Springs. And the little aside note that was so meaningful to me, because in talking with him about my daughter, who was then graduating from high school over in England, he made the comment that if he and his family could be of any help when she was to attend a school here in Colorado Springs, that he would be more than happy to have her come and live with them while she went to school. Oh, what a neat guy. He doesn't know me from Adam except from this experience, and out of that he was willing to offer her a place to live. Fortunately or unfortunately, we didn't have to take him up on that. An unexpected adventure, a G-force that changed the world and changes our world, but this force is a God force that has done something for us, that has motivated us, that has pulled us by the power of attraction to something greater than ourselves, for which we will always be different, always, always in change, always moving in a way beyond our wildest imagination, a visible force for good intended to save the world, to turn it upside down, pulling us from our biases and our prejudices and our skepticism and our negativism, and offering us more than a vanilla world in which to live. I was talking to Carolyn about that yesterday when we were in the store. All the different kinds of puddings I really like. Life is more than vanilla pudding, I told her. And so is our walk in Jesus Christ, more than vanilla pudding in which we live. Along with the pilots and the astronauts who conquered the pull of gravity, there's a wonderful song that was written during the start of the Second World War that gives meaning to my life, but it also sort of gives us the direction and the power of what it means to be a Christian. It was a song written by a guy by the name of John Gillespie McGee. Now, you may not know him, but he was a Royal Air Force pilot, Royal Canadian Air Force pilot, in 1941. He happened to be an American, but he couldn't get into the Army Air Corps, and so he went to Canada. And there he was trained to be a pilot officer. In one of his experiences, when he climbed to a staggering, unbelievable height in space of 30,000 feet, he had in mind some thoughts that came to him that when he landed, he put them down on paper. "No, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies. On laughter-silvered wings, sunward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you've not dreamed of, wheeled and soared and swung high, high into space." 3 months after he wrote that particular poem, he died, not in war, but in a crash that took place between two planes in the clouds. And on his tombstone today, you'll find the beginning and the ending of that poem, High Flight. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and touched the face of God. That's what it's all about. In the pool that Christ gives us, the pool that God gives us to experience the surly bonds of earth and to escape them into something that has meaning and importance and destiny for us as we look to the future. That's what the Christian faith is all about. It is not vanilla. And it doesn't hover on the ground. It takes off into the wild blue yonder. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. We add flavor and brightness to a world living in the shadow of depression and despair and constant war. We are the ones charged to do that. We have a mandate to do it in Jesus Christ. To slip the surly bonds and give to the world something it so desperately needs in the love we can share in Jesus Christ. We offer hope where there is none, dreaming dreams that other people dare to even think about. And Christ calls us to the task in today's scripture. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And how do we do this? I only know one way, and that's to follow the example that we get in Jesus Christ. You see, he wouldn't only share his faith. He would show it. For Jesus, it was always show and tell, not the other way around. You want to know what Jesus is like? Don't just listen to his words. See what he does. How he touches the lives of people, and in that possibility, they're never the same again. I always think of the woman who just happened to walk by him and brush up against him, and she was healed. That's the kind of person Jesus was. He didn't just say he loved the world. He showed it by his servanthood. The blind would be able to see. The lepers would have their health restored. Wedding guests. A wedding guest in Cana would see the water turn back into wine. Oh, please, Jesus, do that with our communion. Welch's grape juice gets a little tiring. That's the kind of Jesus he is. And in an ultimate act of sacrifice and servanthood, he gave his life that we might live. Show and tell. Show on the cross and tell the world, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Remember the God force at work in Mark's gospel, chapter 6. It's where Jesus calls the 12. He teaches them and sends them out two by two. And I love the passage, 12 and 13 in the 6th chapter. They went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. They came back. They were exhausted. They were worn out. Jesus said, let's get away for a while and recover. You need some rest. And so they escaped to a deserted beach, or one they thought was deserted. And unknown to them, people from all the surrounding towns were coming together to hear what Jesus had to say. There was something going on unique and mysterious and remarkable. They found their way by foot to the place where Jesus would go by boat and gathered around him. And what follows in Mark's gospel is the key to Jesus' ministry, and a very important key to his ministry. And this is what it says in verse 34. As he went ashore, he saw the great crowd and had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Wait a minute, hold on. Compassion, that's the word I was looking for. Compassion, this is the word. This is what moved Jesus to feed the crowd that evening. Moved him to minister to others. Moved him to bear the cross. It was an unmistakable compassion that God gave him for the people of this earth. Wow. That's why we remember him. And in both Greek and Hebrew, when you look at compassion, it is more than sympathy. That's usually what we think of compassion as being. You really feel sorry for someone. Actually, compassion is standing alongside and suffering with someone in a time of need. In fact, if you look at the Greek and you look at the Hebrew, you'll see that compassion is described as something that comes from deep within. We would say it in colloquial language, it's from the gut. It comes from the gut that makes us do what we do in God's name. Compassion is to enter into people's lives when they are laid bare, when there is no other place to turn, when in the midst of despair and heartache and disease and surgery and loss in their life, compassion means we are there with them. Not because we just need to be or have to be, but because from the gut we're called to be by Jesus Christ, to have compassion for one another. That's why we send kids out on missions. That's why people go to the McCurdy School. That's why folks make dinners for folks who've just come home from the hospital. That's why others sit with the family when a loved one is in surgery. That's why we gather together as the body of Christ in the midst of tremendous loss when loved ones have left us and gone home to be with Christ. Compassion is to enter into people's lives in a way beyond our wildest imagination that we can only get from Jesus Christ himself. What do people want from us? Just a few thoughts. No, I quit. What are they looking for from us? What do people really need? I found the answer from a nurse by the name of Maggie, who at an early age was repelled from Christianity by people who appeared spiritual in public but were abusive in private. Oh, it's always good to look good in public. But in private, sometimes the real you and me come out for others to see. At one point during this time of searching, she wrote to Lee Strobel, who at the time was a teaching pastor at Willow Creek Community Church, one of the largest interdenominational gatherings outside of Chicago, a remarkable, remarkable church. He recommended to this young woman, he said, we have a wonderful group gathered together of spiritual seekers. People who are still troubled about the world in which they live and are trying to find their way, and it's led by two Christians who will help you on this path. So she joined the group. She said she was so respected and validated by that whole experience, she wrote to Lee again a little poem she had written, and it was really about the two Christians who led the group and allowed her to see a new life she never had before. She ended her letter with this poem written for the two class leaders, and it represents the heart's cry of someone far from God, to you and to me and to them. Do you know, she begins, do you understand that you represent Jesus to me? Do you know, do you understand that when you treat me with gentleness, it raises the question in my mind that maybe he is gentle too. Maybe he isn't someone who laughs when I am hurt. Do you know, do you understand that when you listen to my questions and you don't laugh, I think, what if Jesus is interested in me too? Do you know, do you understand that when I hear you talk honestly about arguments and conflicts and scars from your past, I think maybe I am just a regular person instead of a bad, no good little girl who deserves abuse. If you care, then I think maybe he cares. And then there's this flame of hope that burns inside of me, and for a while I'm afraid to breathe, because it might go out. Do you know? Do you understand that your words are his words? That your face is his face to someone like me? Please be who you say you are. Please, God, don't let this be another trick. Please, let it be real. Please, do you know? Do you understand that you represent Jesus to me? John Maxwell, in his wonderful little book entitled Be All You Can Be, said the following. I quote his instruction to us. Rubber bands come in different sizes and different colors, different shapes, but they all work on the same principle. They must be stretched to be effective. Like rubber bands, our personalities, our talents, and our gifts are different. They're also not effective unless we're stretched. If you're not stretching in your own personal walk with God and in your leadership abilities, then you are not going to be able to be as effective as you need to be. Powerful words. Why stretch? Because you are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus told you. Why stretch? Because you are the light of the world. And for one other reason, that voice in our church, in our community, and in our world, which cries out to us, the words of Maggie, the nurse, as she said, do you know, do you understand that you represent Jesus to me? Amen.